Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
I'm Alfie Bull and you're listening to Sheffield
Live. Hey, what's up? This is Craig David and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant. Yo. And you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 7th of February, and guess what? We've got a full house, which is good to see. So welcome to G.
Yep, well done, people.
It must be what? About, say, 3 weeks.
About
3 weeks. 2 months, says
CV. Under did miss me in it. Tell the truth. Under miss me in it.
No. Yeah.
I feel no way to tell the truth. It's all love.
And yeah, we've got a man called CV also in Addis Studio.
Yeah,
but
Debo
too,
again.
You
know? Debo, come in.
Control tower.
I want to start off with a story from Sam Kerr, the Chelsea forward, who is the Aussie captain as well. So she was in a bit of hot waters the end of January, but it's just come to kind of like come to fruition, really. An incident after she spat vomit out of a taxi. The taxi driver allegedly was driving at speed, booted it basically straight to the police station in Twickenham. Now a partner who plays for West Ham, Christy Mewis, broke the rear window of the taxi because the taxi driver had locked the doors. I find that kind of little bit bizarre, really. I mean, the Aussie international denies a charge of causing racially aggravated harassment to PC Stephen Lovell at the police station in southwest London. Early hours of end of January 2023 this happened, so it's a time ago, but it's only, like I said, it's only just come to light now. When it was put to her under cross examination by Kingston Crown Court, that she chose to show hostility towards the officer because of his whiteness. She said, "That's not what I meant." The evidence, Kerr said she was antagonised by the officers after she was taken to the police station by the taxi driver following the dispute. And like I said, a partner smashed the taxi driver's back window. Kerr, with her partner, like I said, who plays for West Ham, the strikers previously told the court that the driver took the couple to Twickenham police station after she spat vomit out of the window. At the station, Kerr allegedly became abusive, insulting to PC Lovell. At the court on Thursday, just gone, Mrs. Kerr was asked by prosecutioner if she was using PC level whiteness as an insult. Kerr said, wasn't meant to be that way at the moment of expressing your hostility to him because of what you thought was stupidity. You also chose to show hostility towards him because of his whiteness. Kerr again said, "Nope, that's not what I meant."
The prosecutor, Bill Emlyn Jones, QC, obviously QC meaning King's Counsel, basically, these guys are normally assigned to deal with complex cases. At the station, apparently, Kerr became, like, very insulting.
I just want to get your guys' opinion on this. You know, like I said, Kerr call the officer a stupid and why, the prosecutor asked her, what did his race have anything to do with it? Which I thought was quite interesting, because in the past, that's not really kind of like come out. They've just like charged somebody for being racially abusive and insulting towards another person. You don't normally get somebody saying, what has somebody's colour got to do with it? Later anyway, Kurt added, was trying to express that they would never, because of their power and privilege, even have the experience what we had gone through, through fear of our lives. The taxi was driven at high speeds, so they was basically saying that they feared for their life, and you know, they heard of people getting abducted and stuff like that before. So hence their kind of like their sort of like aggressive behaviour shown towards the taxi driver. I mean, the court previously heard that she swore at the policeman for being a racist thing. When asked about these comments again, I believe they were treating me different because of what they perceived the colour of her skin. So, you know, I mean, you've got an incident there where the prosecutor is normally somebody who was assigned to deal with more complex case. I wouldn't have thought this would be a case for a barrister of that quality. But what do you make to that? I mean, Kerr, racial abusive to an officer, and the taxi driver sort of like driving him straight to the police station after locking the doors.
Well, by my theory on this now, when it comes to alcohol, and obviously alcohol has played a part in this, when people are merry, let's say, you say and you do things that you may normally not do. Something has occurred between them and the taxi driver while he was taking them home. It's as simple as that. He's felt threatened enough that if they don't want to pay, they disagree with the price to take them to police station. He has no other option but to do that. What's happened then from there on in? She's most probably got irated and she's saying things. She said things to the police officer why she's in this position now. Now, when you sober up, you always think back, what did I say? What did I do? You can't remember if you're that tipsy, if you're drunk, let's say. So she has no idea really what she has said to this police officer. Deny all you want, the proof will come out, because most taxis now do have CCTV in them, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that's true. That is so
the truth
true.
Will come out there. So if she has, let's say for argument's sake, she's done what they say she's done, then how stupid can you be with the position that you hold, really, in society now with playing football? They brought you from Australia over here and you're going off like that, through alcohol, having a good time with your companion. If she hasn't, and they've actually said she's done this when she hasn't, well, that will also come out too. But for me, when it's to do with alcohol, you have to kind of give and take to see what really the truth is.
I mean, I've not really heard, unless I've got it wrong, I've not really come across that the alcohol has kind of like played a part. Well, I know we're kind of making it, if it.
No,
if
to what I've been reading, yeah, the taxi drivers has accused them of spitting and vomiting outside the window and stuff like that. And it's actually to a story while I'm reading it. So something's happened for the taxi driver to take them. Now, if they're doing that and say if they have vomited and that in the taxi, he's going to want money to clean that up, innit? So he wants to price me. I said, you've got to pay him an extra £15 now to clean that up, or 25 quid.
Yeah, because there is a charge for that.
There's a charge for that.
Apparently
now,
it says, like, you know, she's kind of been spitting and vomiting out of the window.
Now, when you're drunk, if you're trying to do them kind of things, blow back, it's going to go in the taxi as well. So she's made herself look stupid in some shape or form, she and a partner or whatever else. So, you know, there's got to be some kind of truth in it anyway. Are my feelings that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think, why, how come it's took so long for it to come to light?
But
they might
try
really.
Hush us, innit? They didn't want, you know? I mean, when these things come out, it causes a lot of controversy and stuff, and it just puts a kind of shade on the football thing and everything else, you know what I mean? But they're only human being like the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying they were taken against their will, you know what I mean? Because the taxi driver driving
Yeah, so they're trying to say kidnap
the station,
them.
You know what I mean?
And the women as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
100%, you know?
The thing for me, I mean, I've listened to what you're saying. For me, why? They seem to bring up the thing about whiteness, aren't they? They brought up the thing about whiteness. And I find that strange sometimes because, obviously, the opposite side to it, we get the opposite side a lot, don't we? But she's saying that she don't remember saying anything about no whiteness. That's what she's saying, right? Or if she has, that is not how she meant it.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, there you go.
That's not how she meant it.
That's what she's saying, right? Now, none of us is there to say, well, yeah, she did mean it like that or whatever, right? I just find it strange that they bring that up. The whiteness. Are we trying to balance up something here? You know what I'm saying?
A partner's white.
Yeah.
And obviously the officer was white as well. But a partner's backing her up, you know, quite rightly so, you know, because like in an exchange with the prosecution about calling the officer stupid and white, Miss Muse said, I think it was her truth in how she was feeling. I think she'd been treated differently and spoken to differently for her whole life. So her partner's well behind her, you know what I mean? And I just, like I said, I just kind of think it's kind of...
What is she? She's got an Aborigine background, hasn't she?
Yeah, she must do. Something could have been something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
I mean, she's 31. You know, quite a decent player.
She's a good player.
Puts herself about.
She's like... Australia's top man.
She's
top
up there,
person.
Yeah.
Then let me just correct myself. Top person because she scores a whole heap of goals.
I mean, what I find again another twist to that is a partner who smashed the taxi driver's window as well.
Okay,
so that's kind of like interesting, you know.
So the two of them is in trouble then.
Yeah, It seems that way because obviously that will be criminal damage, won't it? You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, have they both been arrested?
Well, I mean, a partner for smashing the taxi driver's window.
Right.
There'll be a charge pending for that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean. I think what they should have done a Linton Kwesi Johnson and broke up the taxi driver. You know what I mean? Should have just twist him up two times, just wrap him up, you know? Remember Sonny's letter? Yeah!
Huh?
Go on, Sam. Should have delivered it. With some venom, you know, like the rattlesnake, the python, the adder. Yeah. I mean, we're not advocating for violence, but, you know, two women taking that will should have showed him two moves, you know, from back in the days.
But you know what?
And look after him.
You know what? You can understand that. You could understand their part of it, you know, because they're in the back of a taxi. This taxi driver starts to go a little bit erratic, like, and then speeds off, and then says, "Boy, I'm taking you to police station," and all them kind of thing. You could see them getting a little bit like frightened, can't you? I believe they are two women.
Yeah, they are two women. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you could see their side of the story as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so what? True. You know, I mean, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on that story. I mean, we've covered some kind of like sports on this show and some kind of extreme sports. I mean, G brought the one about, you know, the slapping in man's face and leaning it up and that. And this one, I come across this sport here. It's called ear pull. Now, I don't know if other guys fancy doing some of that.
What's that? What's that?
An extreme sport called ear pull, where
another one. What kind of? Go on. What's this one?
Where competitors' ability to endure pain. So it's all about pain. This one, two competitors sit facing each other,
right,
with their legs straddled and interlocked. 2 foot long string is looped behind the ear, left to left or right to right, whichever you know that they feel is the right way for them. Then they pull until the cord comes free or the opponent hollers out and said, I've done. You know what I mean? If one of them's in pain.
Oh,
now, they
God.
Get like, there's a piece of leather what's kind of like, it kind of like wraps around the ear to protect it the best they can. But a lot of these end in kind of like, you know, where the ear's getting bled and stuff from the rope or the cord wrapped around their ear. The game has been admitted from some parts of the Arctic sports competitions due to safety concerns. I wonder why. Injuries include bleeding, behind the ear, require some stitches. It's known to toughen up the youths for the Arctic conditions. To increase physical endurance. I mean, fancy that one.
Physical,
you know,
endurance,
I mean?
Did you just say?
Yeah, man.
What? You know, these people then come up with some foolishness.
That is foolishness. I mean,
no, seriously, they come up with some foolishness. So you're going to tear off your earlobe to get some little pain. No, seriously. When you sit down, put some card round for your ear and then tear it off. Oh, we're there. No, man. No.
I mean, it's supposed to be like an annual event, you know, in the USA, held over 4 days, believe it or not. Obviously, there's other sports involved because it's a multi-sport function competition, and it's in July. You know, I mean, like say, CV, I don't know where they met up these things. I mean, you know, fancy the first time, you know, somebody's probably like messing about with some kind of like
rubber bands. Yeah,
I mean, let's put this behind the ear, you know what I mean?
A foolishness, that man. It's just full. You soon see them start come out. Him a go tie feet string round theme two, and the other one going tie string round theme big two, and see who can pull off.
For them better kick in it.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Rubbish, man.
No, that
was
just
rubbish.
Foolish. I mean, the slap thing is bad enough, but that is just foolishness.
I don't even
catch things too far.
I don't call that sport. I don't call that sport.
I have to agree with that. I'm not sport, that man. A foolishness. Period.
Well, I mean, what about the sport what they've got in Jamaica?
Which ones? What that?
And it's to have cultural events in Jamaica until the region tightens up things. And this kind of like game was called...
Yo, so what do you say it is again in the yard? You said what kind of sport?
Gunshot. I said them call it.
That's a sport. Till it to gunshot. weird.
Yeah, because people out there, some of them killing think people.
Yeah, they might kill each other like. And
some of them,
I think,
said they might leave Van Cleef and Clint Eastwood.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
You want
the
me?
Shooting
all yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Right,
we're on the page now. We're on the page.
All right. So, they might come with some rifle.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh. Oh, I see. So that we then call it sport. All right. And you know, funny enough, I was watching some little Clint Eastwood, some few dollars and all them something film there. Yeah, watching that. And Lee Van Cleef. Yeah.
You know? I know we brought this kind of like to the surface here about, you know, when we're talking about the athletes, remember like go, when we're chatting about it. Remember, the sprinter from
the new sensation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not seen him actually perform yet, to be honest.
Well, I mean, his pops ain't too happy really because Bonnet gout. Set the record straight about his son. Gout isn't his son's name. It's not his real name. And on Sweet Talking Sport, we also want to chip in and support that because the Sudan government made a mistake, Arabic spelling error, when the family fled from Egypt, then moved to Australia and settled in Brisbane, where Gout was born back in 2007. Bonner said, don't really mind about what I call his son, but prefers the name Groats. Bonner doesn't like his son being called that because he's saying the name's like a disease, you know, and it's a type of arthritis. However, Gout's manager, James Templeton, he says that his name will remain. So you've got the guy's dad saying he doesn't really like it. Why can't his manager show some kind of like respect and change it up? But,
hang on, what is the guy's actual name?
Gout. It's like G-U-O-T. So it's not Gout. So it's not Gout.
And it's pronounced Gout.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's his name, I can't see what the problem is.
Yeah, but the manager is saying that it's Gout.
Oh, he's pronouncing it Gout. And his friend's dad pronounces it Gout.
Yeah.
Then the manager should pronounce it as it is.
He should do.
He should pronounce it as it is.
And I think it's just kind of like disrespectful, really.
That is very disrespectful, because if it was me now and you're calling one of my kittens them by the wrong name, of course I'm going to say something. Period. That's not what I named him. Or me and my brother, that's not how we named him. We named him such and such, and you're supposed to pronounce it how them parents name it, not what you said. That deserves a clap in his face, man.
You know? It's truly is kind of like disrespectful.
Very disrespectful.
So the man,
why ain't Gout himself saying something to the manager? This is how my name is pronounced.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's just toeing the line. Maybe he's just toeing the line.
Let me get this story right. The manager, right, I call him by a different name.
Pronouncing it different, yes.
Right. But he hasn't said to the manager, yo, that's not how you pronounce my name.
I believe he has. He has said that.
I'm sure he said that to him, but the manager's decided, listen.
Yes.
This is how me I can pronounce it. And if you don't like it, come on.
Then if the manager's pronouncing it that way, then obviously to present him and everybody else.
Yeah, I'm going to use the same pronunciation.
That's right.
Okay.
And that would vex me. If that's not what you name your child, then I'm sorry.
For me now, when, if I get interviewed by any, I would say to them, that's not how you pronounce my name. My name is pronounced like this.
And that's it. And that's what I'm going to answer.
And then for my manager now, would have said, oh, if he come with any foolishness about, oh, this. Just said to him, I don't tell you already. That is how you pronounce my name. So if you can't pronounce it right, me I go tell everybody, anybody who come to me, I go tell them, say, look, this is how you pronounce my name.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just a bang out of order, you know.
And totally agree, you know, if, you know, why James Thompson's manager has to kind of like go a different way and say that his name will remain. Totally disrespectful on that.
Very disrespectful.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of one of them things. Well, it shouldn't be one of them things, but, you know, maybe his dad needs to make a stance and say, listen, you know, whatever contract's in place or whatever, he just needs to break that and say, listen, he's not even calling him by his right name. How disrespectful is that, you know? And I don't know what kind of, like, role his son's played in this, but I believe he's only about 16 or something like that, you know, maybe. Maybe he's not kind of, like, mature enough to challenge his manager.
Well, he's not, is he? I mean, he's 16 now. He's been given an opportunity to do what he wants to do. He's not going to see the effects of his name being pronounced now, but maybe in another 5 years now he's going to realise that's not the name of what he's calling him. Gout.
Yeah, because he's probably going to have a major effect on him, you know? Could be. But yeah, so let's hope that kind of like changes in the future. I'm going to move on to Savannah Marshall now. Savannah Marshall. Some of her titles last year got stripped of the WBC Undisputed Champion within 2 weeks. Later, after winning that, they took that away from WBA. She said that she didn't even get informed of that decision, and the WBO stripped in December. Again, not kind of like informed. Now, she retains her IBF, but she's been given a mandatory fine, or she has to vacate the belt. But this one, it just doesn't sort of like end there, because like she claims that she's not fighting in March. You know, Marshall not fighting on the Jonas Price undercard. Savannah says that she's no longer fighting on the undercard of Natasha Jonas, the Aaron Price. Something watching them, the super middleweight world champion, was expected to appear on the all-woman card at the Royal Pop 4. Marshall 33 said, she was told that the opponent had been agreed, and she had started camp. She'd been in camp apparently since the 14th of December as a result of that. Also was asked to travel to London for the press conference where she told fights where the fighter would be announced. She said, you know, on Instagram, instead I was sidelined and I left, was feeling humiliated and confused. I mean, you know, yeah, she's headlined a fight before, so I suppose for Savannah now to be the undercard, I suppose that's where some of the vexation kicks in. Boxer responded by saying Marshall's comments were made, you know, she were made an offer to fight on the Jonah Price card, but were unable to reach an agreement. Boxer blamed Savannah's management team for that. You know, Boxer went on to say they've always had a great working relationship with Savannah. They've shared some incredible experiences and hope together, you know, they can work again in the future in the past. Well, I bet they can, because obviously making some decent cash from Marshall.
Why do you think Marshall stuck a dummy out? Why isn't she fighting, do you think, in March anymore?
Well, that, well, from her side of things, she's looking at her look. She's been the auntie. She's been the auntie, right? And she's looking at it like and thought to herself, well, hold on a minute, right? I've been headlines now, and now you're dissing me, really. That's how it looks like it comes across to me, right? So yeah, you can see why she's spitting out the dummy, really.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're supposed to be in a competition and you're up there to headline, and then all of a sudden now they've took you out of that match there and put somebody else in, and you're now one of the underdogs or whatever else, I think I'll have something to say about that. Because you want to know how's that happened for a start, and it doesn't look like there's been an explanation about anything. But when it comes to these contracts and things, that is down to the team to sort these things out. So it's really, that's where the argument should lie with the team saying what has happened. It's for them to explain themselves, really, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose.
That's what I feel anyway.
Yeah, I suppose it can't be good, really, if, you know, you've headlined and then, you know, all of a sudden you're on an undercard as well, you know. Can't be good for that.
Yeah, that's a big drop, that, isn't it, really? That is humiliating.
It's massive,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive, that.
So, I mean, she's right to spit dummy out.
I mean, she says that, you know, the belts have little credibility nowadays. You know, she's basically saying that if a boxer and the promoter have got cash, anybody can fight for a title. She's come out clean with that one. And, you know, she's also stepped into the MMA. I don't know if your guys have seen that fight.
Yep.
When she made her debut. And I tell you what, she wasn't doing any kicks or anything. She fought this Brazilian girl.
She was upright.
Yeah, just like delivering some tumps and that. She was just like walking in. I mean, she went to the ground a few times.
All right.
But the cost of her punching ability,
yeah,
she was able to dominate that kind of particular area.
Right.
And she dealt with this Brazilian woman in the first round. I mean, that MMA fight was made a debut in June last year.
Okay.
And she's got a 3-fight contract with PFL, which is the Professional Fighting League, and a 3-fight contract with 1 fight a year. Man, I don't know why it's just 1 fight a year. Maybe it's just to bring in some extra cash and stuff like that. But yeah, the way that she dealt with her opponent, I was kind of like quite impressed with that one.
Yeah, but sorry. But you watched the match. Would you actually say, though, she was an MMA fighter? Because what's getting me now is like everybody's crossing over now. Seems to be crossing over into different sports instead of doing this. She's not a natural MMA fighter, because, like you said, she relied on her boxing to deal with that. There was no kicks or anything.
Yeah.
That's not MMA fighting. And I think this is what gets me now. It's like the rules of these fighting in these sports and that now, they seem to be non-existent anymore, that anybody can jump in and say, I can do this, and they let them do it. So it seems to be more now just about the money side of it and things like that. She's a boxer and she's having 1 fight a year as an MMA fighter. That's not MMA fighting to me. You go in there and you're supposed to deliver, like, you know?
I mean, I thought, we know that she's MMA is not really a thing, and then maybe that's why she's just dipping her toe in it, and you know, stipulations in the contract states that she's, you know, she's signed up for 3 fights, one a year. She probably sees that enough. So that she just wanted to test herself out. And I was expecting to see a few little kicks and stuff like that, you know, but to my surprise, I didn't see Savannah deliver one kick in that fight.
Yeah, because she won't have got, you know, that. She's not got that skill, has she?
She's not got that ability to do that.
This is what she's good at.
She's a boxer, and that's what she's doing.
you know. So, and I thought the Brazilian woman Vargas, really, I thought if she did a maybe stuck to what she knows,
yeah, she could have beaten her
and really sort of like used the kick and groundwork techniques, it might have been a different fight. But I thought she got drawn in into the boxing,
yeah, into doing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, instead of like thinking, right,
doing the wrestling, yeah, techniques,
this is in, yeah, my arena now,
yep, yeah,
you know, it's not now boxing,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she could have probably kept her at bay with a few Ronos and axe kicking,
yeah, 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 kind, yeah, of, I get, you know, that, I get that, I get,
but
that,
it, but it's like she's wanting to trade tumps,
she's to stand up, I mean, and, yeah, yeah, to look,
so,
yeah,
I kind of like boxer, really would blame see, blame her coaches for that. You know what I mean? I'd be saying, look, you're the MMA, she's in your arena, don't get drawn into the boxing fight because you're not going to be able to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Which you can see there. You she's totally see, outclassing, yeah, her, isn't she? Totally,
yeah,
outclassing,
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she is. For the stand-up business, yeah, she's yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that Brazilian made a big mistake there.
Yeah, 100%, you know. But yeah, but she managed to win that one, and like I say, Clarissa was sort of cheering on, which is good, because them two have a fought, and Clarissa was the dominant one.
Who's that, Clarissa Shields?
Yeah. So she was there in Newcastle, Savannah, which is good to see. I mean, in the ring there was kind of like,
yeah, they're quite enemy business. Yeah, I saw their fight.
Beef, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw their fight.
But yeah, just something different. I mean, I think this one was a real good proper fight. There were no kind of pantomime business. When sometimes when you get a boxer, like you get the Jake Paul and
Tyson, that foolish,
that becomes,
yeah,
a bit stupid. But this one, it was a real proper fight.
Yeah.
Apart from Savannah not using, yeah, the kicks. Do you, yeah, know what I mean? They were both kind of like innate, you know. So I have to give it to her, really, because she got the win. That's what it was about. But yeah, I just think that the Brazilian girl got drawn into it. Really,
yeah, you can, you know, see she should. You can, yeah, see.
The,
you can see. Manager of the box.
Yeah, when they stand up, stand like, she's far too, yeah, far superior. Yeah,
yeah. She should have dealt with the groundwork and some kicks here and there, keep her,
yeah,
at bay.
Yeah,
she doesn't stand a chance
now,
there, man.
If Savannah learns certain techniques, she'd be even better.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
well,
she,
that's true,
you,
yeah,
know, you know, yeah, she learns the blocking, the knees, the kicks. Right? Yeah, she'd be deadly. She'd be deadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that big time. Well, I'm going to deliver the news that another boxer has been caught with the juice.
Mm-hmm.
And also what they're saying is Dr. Sajid, also his name's come up because he's been the doctor of some big fighters, including Tyson Fury, Tommy Fury, and also Ben, and he's got, you know, McCann also to add to his name. So Dennis, 24-year-old Londoner, caught doping. And the truth behind the scandal is all revealed. Now, the super bantamweight prospect was scheduled to collide with in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, December the 21st last year on the undercard of Alexander Usyk and the Tyson Fury fight, along with the mouth-watering main event. This clash had largely captured the imagination of the British fans all over the world, with both both looking to reach the pinnacle of the sport. However, it was revealed by boxing power broker. What's that? Turkey Alishay, on Friday, that McCann had now been withdrawn from the card due to his failed.
Now,
I mean, what a tinker. It's never gonna end. And how they mask it up, because this doctor, Sajid, has been on YouTube. I've seen the clip myself, and he's kind of like bragging how you can mask it up. He's basically saying that between certain hours, the people who do the doping test won't bother at all. I can't remember what kind of like time it was. It might be something like after 8 or after 9 in the evening, that they're not allowed to knock on your door and ask for a sample. Now, I call him Dennis the Menace because he was really rocking up out there. Stopped 8 opponents out of what, 17. Knocked out, had a knockout ratio of 47.1%. Boxed a total of 101 rounds, an average of 5.9 rounds. 16 wins, no losses, and one draw. Like I said, undefeated in 17 fights. Dominic Hugo says that it should be barred for about maybe 8 years. I don't know if that's kind of severe. Some people say that he shouldn't box ever again, because Dennis the Menace was getting a right reputation for himself. And also Dr. Sajid, you know, was, you know, he's had dealings with, you know, like I said, Conor Benn back in 2023, Tyson Fury back in 2015. I don't know if you can remember Tyson Fury, but Tyson said that the meat, what he was yamming, was kind of like contaminated. Remember that back in 2015? Yeah, he'd come up with some kind of story like that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, what kind of like, what can we say that? I mean, yamming contaminated meat. Can you remember that guy?
Contaminated meat, okay.
Okay. Contaminated meat.
You know?
Hey, Lord of mercy, my eating too much canned beef.
I can remember what it was now, because he said that it was yamming some kind of like wild boar. I can remember that from 2015. You know,
so is he trying to say that's where the readings then would have come from? And that,
look, yeah, at the end of the day, if this, like you just said, if that doctor who's the one who's giving him what it needs to be, and that doctor's saying certain things on YouTube, then surely the fighter must know about it as well.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and like how the doctor's saying after a certain time and things like that. So basically, I believe, sir, this guy knows what was happening. I believe he knows what was happening, but he's just been caught out now. There's no honesty in any sports and things anymore. People aren't as natural as they were now. You're always hearing these little things about drugs here and drugs there, man's had dentist injection there. He knew what was going on. I believe he knew what was going on.
Well, if he's telling people, if you're saying
that,
believe
him? I believe that the fighter knew what was going on. I do. If this doctor's known for certain things and you've got him as one as your doctor in thingy, I mean, really, if you was going to be in some kind of sports and you had certain medical schools, you're going to look into their past as well, aren't you? Especially like how we can have all these things coming up now saying, oh, he's done this, they've done that. You've got to cover yourself as well, aren't you? You can't just take everybody now as truth.
Well, sometimes you've got to look at the past and the present sometimes.
Yeah.
Many sportsmen take advantage of little simple things. I don't know which boxer was meant to be taking a test. He dodged it, never turned up. The big excuse was he had a cold, so he has taken some medication for some cold.
So basically,
yeah, so we know some remedies show up, but we do know that. But then, why didn't he say that in the first place?
That's what I'm saying, that many people will take advantage of that. So right. They're not being found out.
Is that like the loophole, isn't it?
Exactly.
What I'm talking about. There's loopholes in everything, isn't it?
I mean, that voice we just heard was just like Big E was just coming and just joining the crew. So, what, Wani? What I say?
All good. All good, all good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, we're just kind
of
like...
Of course is it all good.
Hey, listen.
You knew it was coming, man. You knew it was coming.
We're want us to talk about it now?
No. We can't deal with that. We can't deal with that right now. We can't deal with it.
Are you saving TV?
For the show,
that
point.
Yes, somebody have to get saved right now.
You know what?
Protect him.
I don't need no saving because
listen, you him. Protect him.
Yeah, hold up. Listen, yeah. So back to the plan. Back to the plan. Stick to the plan. So Dr. Sajid, like I said, is had. You know, Conor Ben Tyson and his brother Tommy Fury, and now Dennis McCann in this latest kind of like, you could say, cheating scandal from Dennis the Menace. Just want to kind of like remind people that know to consider or do your risk assessment if you're going to see Dr. Sajid, because he's not registered medically, he's not a medical officer. With the British Boxing Board of Control.
Therefore,
medical documentation will be accepted by the board. That's what they're saying.
So why are you using him? So how's he got onto the medical side?
Because they're looking to get through, innit? They're looking to get through, to do a thing.
I don't get what he gets then. And him called doctor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He deserves what he gets then.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Huh? He's Why got not? No medical...
Come on, E, say what you've got to say. Come
Shot
on,
cut. Shortcut doctor, right?
No. Go on, sorry.
Go on.
I'm saying if he's not registered, right? So there's a big issue there.
Big issue.
But how many sportsmen are using such doctors?
So it's got to be weeded out then, hasn't it?
Well, no. All they're saying is to the boxers is not to use them. Not to use him because he's not registered. But... Obviously, some boxers
what difference
will overstep the line, and they've got caught out.
And like I said, they deserve what they get.
Yeah.
Come on, I can see you in your face. You want to say something?
Well, I was going to say that. What difference does it make? I understand unregistered doctors might be prescribing some backdoor medications and stuff like that.
That's correct.
But someone who's registered under Dr. Susan registered, there's some bit of a discrepancy right there in the middle, because I believe even the registered doctors can do it.
I'm not disputing that. I can agree with you on that. I can agree with you on that.
I don't understand how he can call himself doctor then. If he's not a registered doctor, how can he call himself doctor?
No.
Yep, because
he might be a medical doctor, official.
I get that.
Yeah.
But he's not registered, with
the boxing board.
Okay. So therefore, he shouldn't be performing.
But the difference...
With the athletes.
Yeah. And I still believe even the registered doctors...
Yeah.
...can do the backdoor deals.
Which they have done before in sport.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Been proven. You're right there.
I'm not saying it. Yeah.
But what I'm getting at, he ain't registered, so you shouldn't be using him.
Yeah.
Really and truly, and because you've used him now, you get
registered with the board.
Sorry, he's not registered with the board. Let's get it right. He's not registered with the board, so you shouldn't be using him. If you choose to use him now, you've been caught in some controversy now, like what's going on. I'm sorry, but where'd you draw the line? In? Line has to be drawn somewhere.
That's a tricky bit.
Because you can get obviously. Doctor of Science and stuff like that. You can be,
So there's
probably no doubt he's got a title of, you know, doctor.
Do we know about he's a medical doctor?
Yeah, that's true.
Doctor of Science.
Sports medicine.
But like, you know, he's gone on YouTube and stuff. I've seen the clip. I don't know if your guys have seen that as well.
No.
And he's saying that how you can mask up these kind of like things to get through the next. You know what I mean? And a lot of boxers. I mean, what about them boxers who haven't got caught? You know?
Yeah, this is it.
You know, because I mean, it's like Tyson, some big dudes out there who's been working with and got a little reputation. But now the boxing board are saying, do you know what? We're going to look into this guy as well now. You know what I mean? And go a little bit deeper. Whether he'll vanish, who knows? Who knows?
For me, then, the boxing board should just shut the door on that and just say you can only use these doctors, them that are registered with us. And if it's one of them that does do some underhand thing, then you know where the problem is cared for, and you deal with it that way. But you shouldn't be able to use somebody out a door, bring them inside and say, right, let's work this way. And then you get catch and you want to say, oh, I was taking some Lemsy.
I mean, they probably have got a list, you know what I mean? But it probably, there's no stipulation saying that, you know, you have to stick to that list. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, they have to obviously watch what they take. You know, they've got to be very, very careful. They've got a team around them. And they know if they overstep that mark, it could be in deep water. You know what I mean?
Speaking of the team around the boxer.
Mm.
Yeah. Would you say that the accountability lies within the whole team behind this boxer? Because why would you, as a boxer, leave your team to go out there, see this backdoor doctor, get whatever prescription is given you?
Which is what I was saying about before, when we were talking about...
And come back in your team, right?
You've got to blame the team, man.
You've got a nutritionist, right? Someone who looks after your meals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Some vitamins and all supplements and things like that. Wouldn't that person, I mean, I still believe your team is responsible for you.
I agree with that.
So if he's been caught, the whole team is caught out.
Which is what I was saying before about when we were saying about the female doctor that got caught out there. Something has to come from the team as well.
Yeah.
Because they're the one who's supposed to be managing you, looking after certain things.
100%.
But just as you just said there about food, they could be preparing the food and somebody could just come in and slip something in that food the same way, but then that cookie's going to get blamed for it.
Who's responsible for that, though?
Exactly. If you're cooking food now, nobody can come in at the kitchen, is it?
Yeah.
That's how I would look at it. I'm cooking food, you're all keep out of this. But that doesn't mean to say they can't contaminate something somewhere. It's a tricky one.
I mean, I think the responsibility, the overall responsibility, I would say, with the athlete himself, even though that the team... have to kind of like share that, but I think that the overall responsibility, like I said, relies with that individual to make sure that what they're taking, they know everything about, you know, and it's a part of them, it's part of what they're about, you know what I mean? I can remember having this argument with this guy, and he was saying that, you know, the responsibility is with is not with the trainer.
Listen, just have to just control it in here because my one man attack and, you know, not really kind of coming across too tough. So listen now. The disagreement I had was this guy was saying that you trust your team, and I was saying no, the individual has got to take the responsibility. And he says no, because like he said that when he was training, his kind of people them said take this, take that, take that. And I was saying, so you didn't question that at all, you just took it. Yeah, and yeah, we had kind of argues. Yeah, you know what I mean. And I thought I was right. I held my own because, like, if I'm a professional athlete, and my team around me are saying, yo, you need to take this 3 times a day, I'm gonna say, well, what is it? What does that do? What effect will it have? Do you know what I mean? What benefits it's that? I'm gonna be asking them questions. Now, everybody's not like me. I can only speak about, you know, what I would do.
I'd agree with you on that 100%.
Thank you,
whatever else. I'd agree with that 100%.
Thank you.
Because I'm like that anyway with my medical team. Every time they might give me something, I have to ask, what is it?
Are you the one to question, or is a person giving it to you, explaining what they're giving you?
Well, they're supposed to explain, but you've got to ask the question as well, isn't it?
I mean, they'll cover all those questions you have. So if your GP prescribes some medications to you.
Yeah.
They will tell you this is for this and this and this.
Correct.
And this and that, right?
Should do, yeah.
Correct.
Should do.
But you start to question your GP.
every time. Same like if I go to hospital.
But do you have the knowledge to question your GP?
On my illness, yeah.
I get that, but in this context of this box.
No, but listen, even when you, if you get something and you're still not sure, you got the leaflet, you look at it, you go home, you can Google things. I know when you Google things, it can go way OTT. I understand that. But that doesn't mean to say you can't go out there and gather a little knowledge yourself. And if you're still unsure, there's other medical people you can ask, isn't there?
Second opinion.
You can also go for a second opinion. That's it. Yeah, you can always do this. But for me, somebody coming up to say, you don't know what's in there. It's just like we talk about vaccines and that now, and they're doing, giving you. We all learn different things about that, don't we? So, ask questions, man.
You got to remember, right? He's a boxer, isn't he? Right, and he's got to look after his body, and he should know the consequences of if anything comes up in his system, what's going to happen. So to me, you should be asking.
Talk to them, CV.
You have to.
When they start to question, you know,
too many times.
If any findings come out negative,
okay,
right? Sorry, a positive.
Yeah.
Who do they ask first?
They ask
the boxer or the team around him.
They'd go to him first. They'd go to the boxer, wouldn't they?
Right, okay.
Every time.
What did boxers respond back when they're saying, oh, I didn't know, oh, I wasn't aware?
There's always that
many a times, the team is not involved. They're kept a separate. So the boxer explains himself, oh, I was here.
Yeah,
I was hungry.
Like, yeah.
I bought a snack. I didn't know in that snack there was something in that snack. Do you understand?
Which really is a fair comment. It's deleted. It's a fair comment, that is it.
But you stumped then, really. What we're saying here, then, there's no right or wrong way about to go all this. There's no truth or whatever else. It's the way it is. So what do you do?
You have to be responsible.
What we supposed to do now,
for what
then?
You're taking it. Yeah. Have to be responsible.
Just watch out what you eat.
So really then, you then have to more or less look after your own self. Cook your own foods, or you get your missus in or your boyfriend, whatever, to cook your food. If somebody says you need some medical thing, then you have to go out there and maybe get a neutral doctor and says, I've been told I need this because I do this, and see if you prescribe it for you. What do you do?
Okay, we're gonna leave that one there. We're running out of time, big time. And we've got three games that we just want to talk about very, very quickly. Championship first, Blades against Pompey, 3rd v 20th. The last three seasons, it's been tough opposition. You know, United, strong side, got to be 100% win. 3 points all the way.
Is it at Pompey or Lane?
At the Lane.
Okay.
And then Baggies against Owl, 6 v 10th. Baggies won the last three out of the four home games. Difficult afternoon on the road for Owls. 2 hours, 16 minutes heading back, long way back. Leighton Orient against Man City, our FA Cup tie. Over to CV.
Nothing to say really, other than to go there and win. That's it, that's me done.
I mean, these guys haven't played since, what, 1966? The last time it was a 2-2 draw. I can't see that result happening again.
Is that the man you've been giving Leighton Orient?
Yeah. I mean, Leighton Orient will just hopefully just, you know, keep
stand
it tight.
If they can,
keep it tight. If they can get in at half-time, 1-0 down, 2-0 down.
Well,
it's probably an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because
1-0 down. 1-0 down would be that they're still in the game.
100%. You know.
And you know, for my team, that right at this moment of time, we're Father Christmas and we're giving away presents like nobody's business. So,
I mean, Leighton Orient are what, 6th in League One against Man City, who are 4th in their respective league. FA Cup tie. It will give them a chance to maybe showboat a few new people that have come through the door.
Oh, you mean for us? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah, they might do. They might do.
So, you know, it should be, you know, a convincing win.
It should. But we'll see.
It should get embarrassing, I think, for later.
City should probably
put the burners on in the end. And, you know, obviously, I can't see them being a match at all.
Well, like I say, we'll see. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow.
See. I mean, whether you like it or not, you've been listening to Sweet Talking Sport. CVG and Big E was in the house.
In the meantime.